Oh, I'm Jules and you're listening to BBC Radio Kent. So we're going to talk next about work and home life. And I'm going to tell you a little story about what happened this morning. I nearly didn't make it for the show this morning. I came to work on time. Everything was fine. My husband is going off to a conference today, so he'd left. And a really nice lady who lives a couple of rows around from us, who drops the kids to school a couple of mornings a week, came round to take Betsy and Maddie to school. I got a phone call at, I guess it was about 7:45 this morning, from the childminder saying, Betsy won't put her socks on. She's refusing to go to school and she's screaming the house down. What should I do? And I have to be honest with you, I didn't know the answer to that because it's the first time it's happened. So my producer, Claire, very sweetly said, I think you better go. You need to go and sort this one out. So first of all, I tried to talk to Betsy on the phone and Betsy just sobbed down the phone. And at this point, I was feeling heartbroken, feeling like the worst parent ever and also feeling like the worst employee ever that was going to have to leave my job. And everyone said, just go. So I went and I met her, and the child manager managed to get her to the school gate. I met her there, all smiles. Betsy was fine by this point. Took her into school. I negotiated with her. I said, stay until lunchtime. Mummy will pick you up straight away at lunchtime. The school are really sweet about it. And then I flew back down to work, managed to get here just in time to come on air and talk about a minor issue about bombing citizens in another country. All of which made me feel like sobbing and made me feel a bit rattled and made me think, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Now, I tell you all of that because it feeds so nicely into the subject we're talking about, which is working families and feeling that your work and your home life are in conflict with each other. By the way, I should just give you the final update. She's just had a phone call from the school, which Claire kindly answered, said, Betsy's really happy and wants to stay all day. You could throttle your kids sometimes, couldn't you? Joining us is Heejung Chung, lecturer in sociology and social policy at the University of Kent. Heejung, I know that wasn't the introduction you were expecting, but welcome to my world and welcome to BBC Radio Kent.
Hello, Jules. It sounds so familiar.
Does it?
Yes, I think I had a very similar thing happen just a couple of days ago. As well.
Okay, yeah. I'm not the only one. You've got little ones as well, haven't
you?
Yeah,
I have a 2-year-old. And yeah, she had a massive tummy aches, so the nursery said, and I had to stop a meeting and go straight over. When I got there, she was fine.
You jump when you think there's a problem with your children. But it all feeds into this idea about whether it's ever easy, really, to be a working parent. And it's not. I mean, you know, here we are, two mums talking about it, but it could easily be dads in that situation, couldn't it?
And I think it's just the fact that we're not alone is that about a third of people feel like their work and family lives are in conflict with one another. And I mean, one surprising thing is it's not just about, you know, you feeling tired to enjoy things at home or you feel like your job prevents you from giving time to your family. It's one interesting thing I found is that if you ask people, it's like how does your partner get fed up with the pressures of your own job? And a whopping 34% of people reply that, like, often and always that their partners feel fed up. And that puts the UK on number 3 of all the 27 countries that we surveyed in 2010.
So is this about us, not only the pressures? And look, you know, the situation today in the end has turned out fine. And this will happen to working parents sometimes. And I'm very lucky to have incredibly understanding colleagues and a very, very nice boss who gets it. He's got kids of his own, he gets it. But what you're picking up on, I think, is this idea that we take work home with us, that our work never leaves us. And because of technology, that's really become possible, hasn't it?
Yes, and I think it's that one thing that we do find is that our works are getting flexible and we have more autonomy over our works, but then it's not necessarily that gives us better work-life balance, but as you said, that technology enables us to be on the web online 24/7. And I think increasingly people feel that if you're not available at godly hours, that you're not actually doing your job. And on the other hand, I think a lot of parents are also feeling the pressures parenting, attachment parenting, and what have you. So we're getting pressures from both ends, and it's And as you said, like, once you have a very understanding partner, a supportive family, and an understanding employer, then that's fine. But for those who don't, that ends up to, well, leaving the work first. But if not, lots of mental, physical illnesses, and, you know, it ends up having problems, you know, with the family and society as a whole.
Yeah. So if you didn't have an understanding boss, my situation this morning could have been awful, couldn't it?
Yes. Or, I mean, luckily, you know, that your daughter might have just kind of carried on. But then, you know, this is just one of many things that, you know, of similar examples, isn't it?
So today, in a nutshell, is Go Home on Time Day. Going home on time is one thing. Going home on time and then not checking your emails after the kids have gone to bed is something completely different, isn't it?
I think today is Go Home on Time Day is an initiative from the Working Families Group. And yes, you have to go home on time, but actually, what is on time is questionable for many of us who do not have a set kind of working hours in their contracts, such as academics, as myself. And again, yes, as you mentioned, it's that we go back home, we put the dinner on the table, and then start checking our emails again, just in case we missed anything.
Yeah. And I mean, at the most ridiculous times, I was telling my colleagues yesterday, I lost my husband down the side of the bed the night before last. I was in bed with my Kindle reading a novel. It was a lovely feeling. I decided not to listen to the BBC News in bed, and I was reading a novel. And I just thought, what? He's been down the side of the bed, kneeling down the side of the bed for the last 10 minutes. Maybe he's had a stroke or something. I was genuinely worried. And I called him and he said, oh, I'm just checking my emails. And I thought, why are you? You're crouching down in your boxer shorts by the side of the bed doing some work at 20 past 10 at night. That's he won't thank me, but I know he's not listening this morning.
Okay, that's good.
But that's something we've got to address, isn't
and
it?
And I think it's just the expectations we have towards each other is that once you have colleagues answer your emails at 8 p.m. at night, then you kind of expect, you know, you are then feeling that you are expected to do the same.
Okay.
And then I think we're just giving, you know, pressuring each other by increasingly doing kind of checking emails next to your bed activity.
We are creating our own reality, aren't we?
In a way, yes.
Hey, Jung, what's the best piece of advice you can give us today so that we stay sane?
I think it's very difficult because there isn't a one-off solution. There are people who do say that we have to collectively think about working less, but more productive hours. There's a increasing number of evidence that shows that if you work less hours, you're actually more productive for the hours that you worked. And maybe it's something that we need to all think about. And again, try to really switch off, because knowing that if you switch off at 10 p.m. at night, the next morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whenever your working day starts, that you will be more productive. Yeah. And things can wait. There are very, very few occasions where it is a matter of life and death. And I think we just have to remind ourselves that.
I will tell Mr. George that the next time I lose him. Yes. Down the side of the bed in his boxers. It's really nice talking to you, Heejun.
Yes, thank
Thanks
you.
Ever so much. Heejun Chung is a lecturer in sociology and